Thank you, Sarah. A short reflection from me, because I want to leave space for both Susie and for Emma to share with us, and maybe for us to chat around our tables again, really. And I'm not really going to reflect upon that passage this week, but we will do it in more detail next week. But I did just want to highlight Mark chapter 1, verse 17, where Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people," or as we used to sing, "I will make you fishers of men." But fish for people is more inclusive and appropriate to today's age, I think. And we have, ever since I've been, probably before that as well, we've tended to have a guiding verse or a motto for the new year. And really that is the one that I want to be our guiding verse for 2026. Come, follow me. And the rest follows from that as well. 4 years ago, in 2022, it was, I think, actually, or was it 20? Was it 5 years ago? You know, it all kind of compresses, doesn't it? Perhaps nearly 5 years ago, we were studying John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. You remember that? And we did it on Sundays. We were still meeting on Zoom at the time, and we did it in life groups, online as well. And it was good. And for the first part of this year, and possibly beyond that, I wanted us to spend some time in this book by John Mark Comer called Practicing the Way. And yes, I'm really annoyed about the way they spell practicing on that book. It should be the British way, but I'll get over it, and you will have to as well. So that's the plan, and whilst there won't be any material come out to life groups from this week's service, there is material to follow in a Practicing the Way course, which we can look at in our life groups. So it'd be good for me just to remind you of our life groups, that we meet in person on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday evenings in different places, maybe at slightly different times as well. And there is also an online one meeting on a Wednesday evening. And really, now would be a good time to join. And we'll give more details of that in particular next Sunday. But it would be a good time, if you're not in a life group, to be a part of one and to learn what it means to be practicing the way. There will be more detail, as I've said, next week, which is also our covenant service. It's an annual opportunity to recommit ourselves to the Lord, and also recommit ourselves to his service and recommit ourselves together as a church of God's people. But just want to turn back to come follow me for a moment. I think it is good to have short mottos. They are memorable, aren't they? And they do sum up something that is much bigger. I was thinking about mottos that have influenced me, and possibly drawing on what we started with, people in my life who have influenced me. But I grew up in church, and from age 7, I joined the Boys Brigade. Anyone else in the BB? Yay, well done, Andrew. And Peter, there's 3 of us. You and the girl. Well, I'll come to that as well, so good for you. The Boys Brigade, I was in that until from 7 to 16. I didn't take it on beyond that, but went in sort of different directions in youth clubs and youth work. But the Boys Brigade, as 3 of us at least will know, I'm sure, had a motto based on Hebrews 6, verse 19, and that motto is sure and steadfast. There you go, just checking to see that you knew, really. Sure and steadfast. And Hebrews 6, 19 said, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." And from that verse also, the anchor became the symbol or the logo of the BB. Now then, put you on the spot, Girls Brigade member. Girls' life, it became the Girls' Brigade, though, didn't it? Girls' Brigade. I was going to give Wendy the chance to say that, because Wendy, for a short period of time, first few years of our married life, actually, was Girls' Brigade captain, weren't you, Wendy? Yes, I salute. Salute my wife. You're right, the Girls' Brigade one, seek, serve, and follow Christ. And do you remember what the logo was?
I can't remember. What? But I just remember it was the girls'
laughter. Yeah, okay. Wendy. Yeah, great. What was the symbol? It's on their sort of coat of arms. Pardon? A lamp, yes. Oh, whew, my faith is restored in the former captain of the girls' brigade of North Hayes Company. What was it? Third Hayes, that's it. Third Hayes Company. Still, it is still going. Hayes in Middlesex. You should talk to my wife afterwards. That's where she grew up. So, Frogmore Avenue. And we lived in Lansbury Drive the first 5 years of our married life. Gledwood. Well, just talk amongst yourselves, Robert. It's a small world, isn't it? We look forward to catching up later on. So those are both good mottos, I think. And Well Street United Church, our church here, has a motto which is putting the king at the heart of Buckingham. And those of you who are more alert, what is the word at the heart of the word Buckingham? The king, of course it is, right there, central. And so that is something that we may not have always talked about as much as we should, but we could. But it is a good motto and something that's memorable and indicates something bigger than the words themselves. So we are here to work together as a church and make that the case, that we do seek to put the king at the heart of Buckingham, but maybe each one of us is truly a part of that when individually we put the king at the heart of who we are and what we do. And King Jesus says, come, follow me. So over the next few months, we'll explore what that means, how we can make it a reality in our lives as we participate in practicing the way. You don't have to have this book, but it's recommended reading as far as I'm concerned. I found a lot in that to challenge me. There will be a handbook that goes with the course that, again, you can choose to buy. In fact, John Mark Comer encourages you to buy it to get off your digital devices, but you can also download it. And that's ironic, really, isn't it, that he encourages one thing. We can download it for free. So that might be what you choose to do. Any rate, I'm not going to buy it for you, so you'd have to buy it for yourselves. So, practicing the way. So, unlike the old saying that we know, practice will not make us perfect, because only Jesus is perfect. But practicing the way really gives us a framework that might help us to become more effective disciples of Jesus. Strange, really, how you use these words, Margaret, in your prayer, but I've written down, as we see Jesus more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly, we will be able to follow him more effectively, more faithfully, more wholeheartedly, and know that he is perfecting us. So we're not going to ask you to do something difficult in these coming months, but really to challenge each one of us to do something more deeply, perhaps. And John Mark Comer suggests three goals for those who respond to Jesus' call to come follow me. And those three goals, there's no plot spoiler here, it's on the front of the book, are be with Jesus, to be with Jesus, to become like him, and to do as he did. So encourage you to remember that, as well as the phrase that I've introduced, come follow me, and God willing, wonderful church administrator and former GB captain will produce for us next week a bookmark which has that on the bookmark, yeah, for us to stick in our Bibles or wherever we will see it and make it memorable to us. So, at this point, hopefully, Susie, are you there? Susie's going to come and share a bit with us, and I was still on sabbatical just when nominations for elders were going through, and Susie was one of those who was nominated and obviously elected. But I did love what you wrote in your sort of blurb for that, Susie. I thought that was really encouraging and inspirational. Maybe you'll say part of that. But do you want to come out here just so people can see you, really? They're sort of
right up here,
sort of looking this way.
Hello, everybody. Morning. So
those that don't know me, I'm Susie. I've been a member at Well Street Church for a while now. First started coming after bringing the boys to First Steps. And they, you many will know my boys, they were full of life and vigour. And so I frequented every single mums and toddler group going in Buckingham. I went to every church mums and toddler group going, but this church was where, get all emotional, is where the people here made the biggest difference to me and to them. And we were invited to come to the service here, and we came because felt at home, not just in the building, but it's the people here that made the biggest difference. And we've been coming on and off, if I'm honest, ever since. But how did I get to that point? I'll do that bit first, and then what's happened since. So as a child, I grew up in a Christian family, but on the fringes of church. We went to church Easter, Christmas, we went to christenings and weddings at churches, but we were never regular church visitors. So I wasn't steeped in the knowledge of Jesus in a living kind of a way during my youth, although I had the principles and the rules and all of that. But I first met Jesus really through watching C.B. DeMille movies, if anybody knows any movies by C.B. DeMille. He made lots of movies where Christians and Christ were kind of in the background and influenced people's lives. And that's when I thought, oh, who is this person? You know, what is this all about? I was given a children's Bible, the big ones, with lots of lovely pictures in and the maps. And it really kind of inspired me to think about God around me, but again, in a pretty abstract way. As a teenager, I went off and I was a bit of a rebel, as all teenagers are, no more than less than anybody else, I don't think. But I made a massive, huge mistake living in London on my own. And I made the mistake twice. Can't believe I made the mistake twice. I made the mistake twice. And I'm not going to say what it was, but it was huge. And I met God there, but I didn't listen. I did not listen. I continued with my life. And I went on, I went to Saudi Arabia, worked in Saudi Arabia. But God was always there with me. And it's always lovely, isn't it, when you look back in hindsight and you can see how God has woven himself into your life, even when you keep saying, no, go away. Please leave me alone. I don't want to know. And he just keeps coming back, you know. And then moved to Buckingham, had my lovely boys. And it was at that point that I realised that I couldn't be a good mother on my own. It was not something I didn't have the strength to do. I'd been used to having so much control over my life in work. I'd managed lots of people. I'd, you know, been in control. And all of a sudden, I was faced with two very independent little boys who I had to keep safe. And I knew I couldn't do that on my own, and I started to turn to God. And that's when I started to come to church. And then God did this amazing thing, and he started bringing Christians into my life. Christians who lived in my street that I didn't know about, came and knocked on my door. Susie, how are you doing? You know, they brought me, introduced me to UCB Word of the Day. Whether I wanted to read it or not, it came through my door. They kept knocking on my door. And it was lovely, and I would never turn anybody away, but it was a very polite kind of a welcome. It wasn't a wholehearted welcome from me, which I'm ashamed of now. But I was in a different place. And then kept coming to church. And every time I came in, I just felt the peace of God overwhelm me. And many of you will know that sometimes when I sing, I cry. And it's just that letting go and giving it to God. I still wasn't ready to let it go and give it all to God. And then you'll know, some of you, that Bob became very ill. And that was really hard. That was really hard. But there's a joy in that, in a way, because it brings me to the point where I knew that God was real, that Jesus was real. In that room with Bob during the last few days, Jesus was there. And when Bob passed away, Jesus was there. Bob nearly got out of bed because he sat up and said, he just sat up and was lucid for the very last time and said, "Is it ready to go? Can I go now?" Those were his words. "Can I go now?" He wasn't speaking to me. He was speaking to God, to Jesus, who was stood at the end of the bed. And I knew that I could feel that presence. So I was able to let God know. I'd walked him to what I believe is the bridge across. And that was a privilege that I recognise now, despite all the, you know, the fear for the future and the sadness of losing somebody that you love. I knew that I'd done what I was supposed to do in spite of everything. God had brought me to the place where I needed to be. And it's at that point that I realised that God saw my life, not just in from birth to passing and death, but on, that there's more to come. And I just knew that. And you'd think that after that, I'd be full of the Holy Spirit and I would be doing what I was told and I'd be listening to God. No, because I am a very leaky vessel. Very leaky vessel. And it's taken all of you guys to keep me coming to church and filling me up. And we've talked about life group, and I was encouraged to do an Alpha course. And I'll be honest, I think Margaret was there. Margaret was definitely there. And it was the Holy Spirit day, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't give myself. At that point, it was too scary, to be honest. It felt scary. It felt as though taking that step would take me out of control. I needed to still be in control. And then later on, I went to Valdebrennen and with another group from Well Street. And it was there that I felt God saying, "You've got to get out of the boat. You need to get out of the boat. You've got to trust me. You know, this is something that I have to do for myself. God can't make me trust him." I had to do that, which I did. And what I've felt ever since is that when I trust God and I pray, not just on my own, but with other people, with other Christians, it gives me confidence and courage. They remind me of the things that God has done in my life. So I go, okay, yeah, God was there then, so he will be here now, and this is what he wants me to do. So it's going to be with me doubly, because I'm doing what he wants me to do, both in little ways and bigger ways. So it's given me more confidence. I don't know where I'm going with this, and I haven't looked at this one, sorry. So where am I now, I guess? So God took me to Milton Keynes Academy, a school there, and what I found was that it was difficult some mornings to get up and go to work because of the lives some of the children are forced to live, the things that they experience, the poverty. It's hard, and they got out of bed every single morning to come to school, so why couldn't I? I live in a much gentler place, and I've thought, why has God protected me almost, and yet so many people are not protected, or I couldn't see that they had protection. But he kept me going, and I suppose this next bit is about how do I keep this leaky vessel filled up? How do I keep walking on? And one of the things that I do is on the journey to work in those difficult times, and when my mum was very ill, my dad was ill, I was going up to the M1 most weekends to see mum and dad, and I discovered Christian radio. And there are lots of different kinds of Christian radio, but I discover Christian radio and songs speak to me. They bring, when I sing, it brings me closer to God. That act of worship brings me closer to God. It opens up something inside me and allows God in, kind of thing. So coming to church on a Sunday is wonderful, and worship him, but also I need to worship in the week. So I do that when I'm listening to my radio. But God moved me to the Royal Latin very recently as a librarian there. And I'd been asking for an easier life. I'd been saying, look, God, I can't keep doing this. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I would like a more balanced life. And, you know, God answered that prayer and gave me the job at the Royal Latin. And but what he also did was to say to me, Susie, this is brilliant. You can continue to do this. Your life is well balanced. You've got more energy. But actually, I want you to use that energy and that newfound vigor and, you know, for me. And again, it's a choice that he gives. He doesn't necessarily then take away the good things that he's given us or given me. But he then says, but actually, I need you to trust me a bit more. Get out of the boat again. Because it's not that I get out of the boat and I'm out of the boat and it's all okay. Life happens and I get scared and I get back in the boat. So I find that God's always saying to me, sorry, lovely, you've still got to step out of it and I want you to do more. Not more bigger often, just more keep going. So I listen to the radio a lot and sing. Coming to church is important. Life group is really important to me because by Tuesday and Wednesday, the leaky vessel is getting a bit empty. The doubts start creeping in. Doesn't matter what's happening, the doubts start creeping in. So what I've learned to do is to kind of protect myself almost. And what I've done is, so recently, Lectio 360, I listen to it in the morning. I wake up, my alarm goes off. I don't even sit up. I turn it on and it kind of lets me check in with God at the beginning of the day. And it's only about 5 minutes. And I listen to that. I also listen to it at the end of the day because I used to find it very difficult to sleep. And I'd be awake late into the night and then all the worries would start. So for me, that's helped at the beginning and the end of the day, checking in with God. And then I sing during the day if I've got my radio on. But I also, recently I've started to, so going forward, because I haven't really properly started, lots of you have really inspired me. You read, you've been trying to do the, you know, read the Bible in a year. Because after 58 years, I still don't read my Bible. Isn't that awful admission? I don't read my Bible. I read passages every now and then, or, you know, when we're doing life group, I'll read from the Bible, but I don't make it, I haven't made it part of my life. So that's my commitment going forward, is to read more of the Bible. So I'm starting in the New Testament, and I'm going to work my way through. I'm going to try to read one of the books of the Bible a week. We'll see how that goes. I'm not sure how it will go. But it's a process of just keeping this leaky vessel full and trying to do what God wants me to do and pray with you guys, with other Christians. I hope that's okay.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Susie. Well done. Yeah, it's worth it. And yeah, that was fantastic. Thank you very much. There's a lot to challenge us, each of us, isn't there? And you know, that's Susie's story. Her story is not, our stories won't be identical to that. We all have our own stories, don't we? But we can learn from others and we can pick up things that will work for us. And it's great to hear of Susie's sort of faith journey and also what God is doing now. Because, you know, testimony is not just about what God's done in the past. It's what God is still doing. Emma. Follow that. No pressure, but we know. Emma, for those of you who don't know her, is you're still a member of our church, aren't you, really?
I think. I am,
still
yeah.
On the books, yeah. But however many years ago it was, went out to Africa, relocated within Africa, is now home, but still going back to Uganda from time to time, aren't you? But you've also had a change of role as well. So I'll say no more of what you were going to say. Carrier, over to you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Susie. It was really inspiring, and I love how testimony is always like, even though it's not the same, there's always parts of it that we can relate to and pick up on, and yeah, I love that. And I also love songs. I was thinking, oh, I love the same. I have actually songs in here that I wanted to mention. But being here is really special for me because this is where I met Jesus, right in this room. So when Tim asked to tell my testimony, I was thinking, oh, but I think most people know it, but I will try and keep it brief. But this place is so special, and coming back, there's so many memories of, it's not the building, but there is so many memories when you come in the building of what happened here. And I got baptized here and went to the youth group up there. And I've known a lot of you since you were tiny. And I love that. So I grew up as a Christian, and I think most of you know that. I grew up in a loving family. My dad was a pastor. I knew Jesus. I met Jesus as a little girl. But when we moved to Buckingham, we came to the youth group here a little bit, me and my sister. But it was really hard. And a lot of things happened during that time, things that I didn't actually remember until recently. And I now know, I won't say what it is, but I now know that was one of the things that I went away, why I went away from Jesus. Coming, trying to move into a new school when you're 15 and trying to belong, and this thing that had happened to me also just made me question, was Jesus really there? And in the end, I ended up just stopped coming to church. I left and just felt like, I'm not sure if Jesus is real or not, but he was always with me. And like Susie said, when you look back, you can always see his hand in your life. He never left me. As much as I ran away from him, he didn't leave me. And when I was kind of mid-20s, I had some friends, I don't know if you'll know them, but they're called Claire and Matt, and they came here and did the Alpha in this church. And I met them one day, and they were telling me to come to church. So I came back to church. I came and I did the Alpha course. I'm sure maybe some of you were on it as well. And I was like listening to all the things. And I remember doing the heaven and hell talk. And I thought, do you know what? I don't want to go to hell, so I'll give my life back to Jesus. But I wasn't living as a Christian. I wasn't living as a follower of Jesus, as a lover of Jesus. I was still doing my old life. I was going out. I was drinking. I was rebelling. I was doing all of those things. But I did love listening to music. I loved listening to worship music. And my dad had made me a CD in my car. And also Brian Stocker he'd been praying for me, which I didn't know until after, for years and years, for me to come back to Jesus. I was listening to this music, and there was a song that's called Blessed Be Your Name, which I'm sure you all know, by Matt Redman, is it? Yeah. And I was listening to that on my way home from work. My job was a carer for a little boy who was 14. He had cerebral palsy. He was quite severely disabled. And I'd worked for him for 4 years, full-time. The family were like my family. And I just, as I was driving, I had this feeling in my spirit of, you're going to need the words to this song soon. I was like, oh, that's weird. Anyway, the next day, I woke up to a phone call from my boss, Jason's mum, telling me that Jason had died, and he'd had an epileptic fit that stopped his heart. And I used to do all his medical, his drugs and everything. So I was panicking, like, what did I do? Was it me? It was nothing that I did, but it was a shock. And at that moment, it was just horrible. I didn't know what to do. I'd lost someone who was like a brother to me. I'd also lost quite a good job and didn't have a job anymore. I hadn't gone to uni or done any of those things. I had no idea what was going to happen. And I remember on the Sunday evening coming here to Well Street with my mum, and I walked in and everybody's singing and they're putting their hands in the air and they're praising the Lord and they're so happy. And I was like, I don't think I can do this. I don't understand why God would let a 14-year-old boy die. I'm done. I don't want to follow Jesus. I don't want you in my life. That's it. I'm done. And I went to walk out those doors. And just as I went to walk out those doors, the song Blessed Be Your Name came on. And I remembered that moment in the car and those words that it was saying of, even when you walk through the darkest moments, you still praise the Lord. He's still there. And I said, okay, Jesus, if you're real, I need to know it. I need to feel it. And right at that moment, as I prayed that prayer, I just felt the Holy Spirit come and just fill me. And I just felt so much peace. I can't even explain the feeling I had, but I knew in that moment that Jesus was real and that I would follow him everywhere. And I made a decision. I started helping with the youth. And I just said, people say when they give their life to Jesus, I don't have that date, but I know that day I said, I will follow you. And then I got baptized here. And at my baptism, I had the song, Living for Your Glory, that says, in everything I say and do, let my life honor you. I'm living for your glory. Let me be more like you. And that was my prayer that day, was I always want to follow you. Whatever may come, I want to follow you. And that led me, as most of you know, to South Africa to go and serve. And then to Uganda, where I lived for 10 years. And now back to Aylesbury. And it hasn't all been smooth sailing. There's been really difficult, heartbreaking, hard things where I've wondered where Jesus is. But following Jesus is keeping your eyes on him and following him even when you can't feel him. And recently, obviously, as you know, a year and a half ago, it feels long now, I came back here because I really felt that God say, I want you to go back to the UK, which was a shock to me because I thought he'd told me to live in Uganda for the rest of my life. And I was quite happy with that. I had family there. It felt good. It's warm, not like this freezing cold weather. I had community and they'd become my family. And suddenly God's saying, go back. And I'm like, okay. And in a way, coming back was harder than going, because he's saying, come back and I want you to do something, pioneer something in the UK. Not be part of something, well, I am part of every life, but not just stepping into a role, but starting something. And also coming back and not having a full-time job, totally relying on God. Again, I'm a leaky vessel as well. I have to keep reminding myself to really trust, like, he's got it, but it's hard. And to a really expensive country. And I got back here and I had some help and it was amazing. And then I really thought I'd work in London. That's where I really wanted to work. I was so excited. And then God brought me to Aylesbury. And I honestly thought, I went to college in Aylesbury, I worked in Aylesbury. I thought, I never want to see that place again. But God brought me back there. And when he told me the story, he woke me up one day and said, I want you to go and pray around Aylesbury. And I didn't know where, so I drove to the Aylesbury Vale Parkway, and there's a way that you can walk to Wadston. So I thought, I'll walk towards Wadston, I'll pray, and I'll ask the Lord where he wants me to go in Aylesbury to pray. And before I even got there, I was driving past, I don't know if people know Aylesbury, but Quarrendon Estate. And I'd been looking at houses because I'd also felt that the Lord was telling me to move where I'm working, that I need to live in the community, in the estates that I'm working. So I was looking at houses, and there was one on Quarrendon. And as I drove past the estate, he reminded me of that house, and I'd taken a screenshot of it. And I just felt Jesus say, go. So I parked the car, I walked through all of the estate, and as I was walking, he just started to talk to me about the people and the community, and that he wanted us to work there. And I was like, okay. And I went to the house, and when I got there, the house wasn't there. The number that I'd taken the screenshot didn't exist. And when I went back on Rightmove, it wasn't there. And I walked past a pub called the John Kennedy. I don't know if people know it. It's quite a rough pub in Aylesbury. And I felt that the Lord say, I want you to go work in that pub. I want you to go and shine my light in that pub. So I was like, okay. So I talked to other people at Every Life. I prayed and found another house. And again, the house wasn't available, but I said, if you want me to move to Aylesbury, you want me to live in this community and you want me to be in this house, you'll bring this house to me and it'll be available again. A week later, the estate agent rang me back and said, the house is available, do you want to rent it? And I took it. And I love my house, but it's not great. Hasn't got proper central heating. There's lots of things that are difficult with it, and it's expensive. And again, it's trusting God through all of those things and saying, I want to follow Jesus. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when people are questioning, why are you coming back to this country? Why are you moving into a house on an estate? So many people have asked me, why are you living in that house? Because it's not warm, it doesn't have a shower, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but God told me this is my house, so he will provide. But you still have to, I still get scared and have to keep reminding myself to trust God. But it's not just about big moves, following Jesus, because when we follow Jesus, there's the big moves, but there's also the small things as well. Because I feel like sometimes you think, when I became a Christian, I thought it'd be all sunshines and rainbows and be quite easy because I have God on my side. But if I'm honest, it's harder. And sometimes when you're following Jesus, you have to still trust him, even when you don't understand what's going on. And in the summer, me and my friend, God had told my friend to climb Snowdon about 3 years ago. And in June, both of us climbed Snowdon, and we knew it was being obedient to God for her. And I said I'd do it with her. And when we got to the top of Snowdon, it was really hard. I'm not that fit. We took communion, and it was beautiful. And I remember when I was up the mountain, I just said to the Lord, I want to be your vessel. I want to be more like you. Just get rid of everything that isn't you. Shape me and mold me and get rid of all the humanly things so I can be more like you. And after we got down from the mountain, for my friend, everything started to get better for her because she'd had quite a few hard years. But for me, I felt like everything got worse. I had a health scare and I had to go and have an operation. I had some traumatic things come back that I'd forgotten in my mind, and I'd started to remember. And it just all felt like everything has been falling apart in the last kind of 6 months. And if I'm honest, I haven't wanted to talk to Jesus. I haven't wanted to be in his presence, and I haven't felt him. And that's been hard for me. Because one of the most things, like for me, the worst thing that can happen is not feeling the presence of Jesus. And then suddenly I'm in this situation where I'm not feeling his presence. But I have to choose and make a choice to keep following him, to keep doing my devotions, to keep stepping into his presence, even if I can't feel him. And I know that Mother Teresa, someone talked about her on our table, and she went for 50 years of spiritual darkness, of not feeling Jesus, but she carried on. She kept moving forward, she kept her eyes on him, even though she didn't feel his presence. And so I think for me, following Jesus is following him and keeping going and keeping your eyes on him, even when you don't feel him, even when you think he's far away, because he isn't. But sometimes we don't feel him, but we keep going. We keep our eyes on him and we keep pursuing him and we keep saying yes to him. And one of my favorite songs, because we're talking about songs, is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And it's an old one, but it makes me cry every time because it's like, I have decided to follow Jesus and there's no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. And Stephanie, I can't remember, say her second name, the Stephanie lady who sings. She does a version of the song, and in the chorus it says, if I live, I'm living for you. If I die, I'm dying for you. Whatever comes, let it be true. I'm following you, I'm following you. And for me, that's my prayer, is whatever comes, I've made that decision, I'm not going back. Whatever may come, I'm not turning back. the cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus, and he'll be with me.
Brilliant. I mean, just picking up on that absence of the presence, if you like. I mean, because we don't feel him doesn't mean that Jesus isn't present, but sometimes we just do feel that, don't we? And I think many of us are probably aware of the Mother Teresa thing. And in many ways, we have a series, a teaching series, a course ahead of us called Practicing the Way. And it is about practicing the presence of God, isn't it? Brother Lawrence, wasn't it? That's the practicing the presence of God guy that sort of was a monk from years ago that found the presence of God in peeling vegetables in the kitchens, that sort of thing. That may be hard to imagine for many of us, but, you know, we can just practice and perhaps seek to become aware. But when we're not aware of him, doesn't mean that he's not there. And I think the this Practicing the Way course, put the book down somewhere now, it's over there. But the idea of that is to give a sort of framework, really, to help us to be disciples of Jesus. And sometimes we will really be absolutely convinced, yes, you are real, you are there. Other times, maybe not, but those practices that we learn as a framework can help to get us through. So, thank you so much, Emma, for what you shared, and Susie for what you shared. I think that's really good. If Peter's recorded it with your permission, we will put that online. And I don't think, you've both alluded to things, but I don't think there's anything that hopefully you wouldn't want to be out there, because I'd like to encourage others who are not here today to have a listen to those. And some of us might want to go and listen again as well. There's lots of nuggets there, things that we can learn for ourselves. I think it'd be good to pause for a few moments and just pray, and then we'll have a final song rather than the questions I had there are maybe things for us to take away on this occasion. I think we've got enough to think about without discussing it some more. So maybe a few of us would like to pray from where we are, and I know not everyone is confident in praying, and please don't feel that you have to pray out loud. Don't feel you have to shout either. God hears when we whisper and when we're silent and say it inside of ourselves. But maybe just thanking God, but also praying that we might all become more deeply aware of the presence of God in our hearts, in our lives, whatever that means. So if you feel you want to pray just aloud, then just lead us in that way. Thanks.